on the give up. Mo Williams closed the punt, took a kick at the shot clock. Cavs in trouble. Backdoor cut by LeBron, covered up. Varejão has to fire a prayer. Got it! Anderson Varejão! Can you believe it? Kyrie, a little touche on Curry's stop side. Irving goes inside to Varejão. Lays it up and in. We're tied! A steal. Here comes Douglas. Trying to get to the rim.
Blocked from behind by Varejão. A Portuguese chase down.
Sherrod Lawson down and he smashed it. 89-71. LeBron pocket pass to Varejão. That's how they roll.
Hey, Chris Manning here from the Locked On Cavs podcast. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to talk about the last two games of the 2020-2021 Cleveland Cavaliers season. They obviously lost both those games, one to the Wizards and the other to the Brooklyn Nets. And we're going to talk about what our plans are here on the pod going forward and how we're going to cover the team into the offseason, through the draft, etc., and whatnot. Before we get going, I want to tell you that today's episode is brought to you by the Locked On NBA podcast. The NBA playoffs are almost here, finally. And you don't want to miss the big storylines and team previews you can find every day on the Locked On NBA podcast. Follow the Locked On NBA podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Also, please go check out Locked On Women's Basketball as well. It is a very good show, and the WNBA is back, folks, and you should be tuning into that. And I highly recommend that podcast. 5 days a week, a bunch of great experts check that out too. Evan, the season is done.
Yeah, it's a little sad. I said it before the game. Like, I know we went through a 9-month drought, but this season kind of sucked. I think just the discourse surrounding it. Like, this team is exactly as I pegged them. They were a bad team that tried their hardest at times. They made a little bit of a play-in noise, which was, it was fun. And then once that kind of became unrealistic after that loss to Chicago and then a few stumbles against Washington, or just a stumble against Washington, excuse me, it really just became unrealistic and the Cavs kind of bottomed out. I know everyone's shitting and farting and just freaking out over the Cavs beating the Celtics the other night, but I don't know. It's nice to see a win. It's a shame Andy Varejão didn't play. At least I don't think he played tonight against the Nets, so it's a shame that we didn't get to see Kevin Love possibly not play his last game as a Cavalier in the last game of the season. We didn't get to see Andy Varejão play his last game. Sucks Colin Sexton was ejected against the Nets. That game beforehand, like early into the weekend, just completely unremarkable for me. It just feels like a blur, but I think the Cavs are kind of on cruise control to get to the season over with once the play-in picture is over, and it's just exactly what I thought it would be, but just the discourse was exhausting, but whatevs.
Yeah, you know, that's what it is. End of the season is what it is. I have a hard time gleaning a lot from these games, right? Like, I just think ultimately, like, when you look at the end of season games, like, even if you see good moments from, like, Bifondu Kagembele, I certainly will, like, read into the Okoro stuff more than I probably should, you know? Like, I think, like, these end-of-season games become very hard to project anything onto and see what's actually going to matter going forward. It becomes a very difficult thing to sort of value what we're seeing here and then say, like, okay, I think this thing is going to matter in 6 months versus not. And, like, I think if you're the team, you're in the same boat. I think if you're JB Bickerstaff, I can imagine the trying to get the motivation levels up is a little trickier this time of the year. He talked pregame about, you know, just them wanting to end the season with some positives they can take into the summer, and I can get that. I just sometimes wonder, like, how much that stuff, like, matters with the players, or because I sometimes think there's, like, a divide between, like, the coach and their motivations versus the players and sort of where they're sort of at, right? Like, I think there's sort of some, there can be some nuance to that.
Yeah, there can be a little nuance to that. It's, like you said, it's tough to figure out. I mean, like, players like Jared Allen, like, congratulations to him. He's going to average a double-double on this season. Like, that's huge. That's awesome. It's the first time he's done that in his career. He's also entering a contract negotiation with Cleveland or possibly other teams because he's going to be an RFA. But Terry Pluto reported that he could be offered as much as 5 years, $125 million, if he is offered that. The Cavs just say thanks, but no thanks, and they move on and maybe
Yeah, that seems like very rich. Yeah. Like,
Jared Allen's good, and I know friend of the pod, Justin Rowan, his ego grows with every shout-out we give him. It's getting unhealthy at this point. he compares him to Rudy Gobert, but Rudy Gobert is nowhere near comparable to Jared Allen. Jared Allen's a good player, but he's not worth $125 million. Like, 80 to 100 tops over 4 or 5 years is where, you know, 5 years is where I'd go. 80 if it's 4 years, 100 million if it's five. You pay him $20 million annually. That's what I'm trying to formulate here. Like, that's what I'd do, but... like, you have players who like that, or you have Damian Dotson, or you have Fiondu Kakembele, or shoot, even Anderson Varejao. If Anderson Varejao wants to give another shot at this too, like, you have guys at the end of this rotation and this roster who are either A, trying to prove they belong in the NBA, Dean Wade too, but Dean Wade I think will be sticking with Cleveland for a while now. Broderick Thomas as well, I'm still unsure about him. Shouts to the friend of the pod, Jeff Nomina, for his never-ending questions about Broderick Thomas, but... there's guys who could really care less. Like, they're trying to go out there and put up some good numbers to hopefully help them in contract negotiations. But there's a lot more questions than answers when it comes to this Cavs team. Am I surprised? Not really. But they're going to be serious questions, and I'm interested to see how things unfold. We could very well get, you know, a nice old Joe Vardon or Jason Lloyd parachute hit piece heading into tomorrow and when the team kind of wraps things up, because I imagine they'll probably just quietly wrap things up and go their separate ways and then reconnect. Well, but
can I just want to – one little caveat I'll put on, like, that idea of a piece is – well, two things. Number one, don't let those things ruin your day. If you're, like, invested like in a team, like, don't let – like
– we had a listener ask me, because we did AMAs when it got really ugly in the first quarter. And either somebody who follows me or somebody listens, either or, I appreciate you reaching out. It's a good question. Like, what's some advice you would give 18-year-old Evan? So 10 years ago, and I would tell 18-year-old Evan that life is too short to get mad over things that have no impact on the grand scheme of life. You shouldn't get upset if a journalist has a differing opinion of yours on Colin Sexton or whomever. I'm just going to directly say his name.
Or like their reporting like leads you to a conclusion you like that paints your team sort of in a negative, complicated light, right? Like, that is just sort of the reality of it.
And life's way too short to get mad over stuff like that. Like, it's easier just to log the F off, go for a run, enjoy the nice weather. It's going to be beautiful this week. Last I checked, read a book, play a video game you like, make some food you like, do something that makes you happy, because it's just not worth getting burnt out over. And I mean, it's hilarious to watch people like spend 10,000 tweets defending Colin Sexton when we shared on Locker Room he thinks that's weird. So for those listening, Colin thinks it's weird you guys do that. And Chris and I have good info on that as well. But yeah, it's just not worth getting so upset over. This team has so many more questions than answers, but they're a bad team too. It's not worth spending all this time and energy because we don't know what the finished product's going to be, because let's be honest, yeah, the Cavs hold their young core in high regard. They hold Larry Nance Jr. in high regard. Like, no one's safe though. Let's say Oklahoma City or Houston ends up with the first pick, but they're enamored with Jalen Green, and let's say Cleveland has the third or fourth pick, and they know Jalen Green's going to be there at three or four, and they call up and say, we'll give you Cade Cunningham for Colin Sexton in 3 or 4. Cleveland says yes to that trade every single time, and it's just not worth getting so angry over this because we don't have a finished product yet. And one more shout out to Justin Rowan. He said this is the last year this team's going to be in the lottery. I'm interested to see how that take ages, but I think it's going to age like milk right now, because I think the Cavs will be back in the lottery next year because there's still more questions than answers, and we just need a clear idea. And winning cures all things. I'll gladly eat crow if the Cavs are a winning team next year, but right now I just don't see it, and we just kind of figure out what's next.
Yeah, we'll talk about, I think, more a little bit. We'll talk more about the game since we're going forward. I guess we've just kind of hit on what's going to come next. I think, like, this week will be, like, a little more informal. And we'll maybe detail this a little later on and sort of, like, where our brains are at and thinking about stuff. But, like, I think this is just, like, a very weird season in a lot of ways. We're going to do sort of, like, a reflection show this week, too. Kind of, like, full-on, like, YouTuber, like, reaction video nonsense, but in podcast form. But, like... there's just been a lot of like objectively funny things to me this season. I'm gonna have
the big
O face,
my hands on the sides of my mouth as like the teaser images instead of like player shots that we usually do. It's just gonna be fun.
Yeah. Yes. There's like very funny things that have happened this season. Like I like just for example, like the thing that I've already mentioned this like 3 times to Evan, like not when we were recording, but the fact that the Cavs used like the phrase "secure the bag" On a tweet sponsored by First Energy, which was like the company funneling money with HB6 and why, which is like the biggest political scandal that we probably haven't even talked enough about, considering like the lead legislator involved in it is like still in office. Like, it is just an incredibly like insane thing, and an insanely like funny, like not on purpose turn of phrase. Just like funny to me because like my brain is like melted. But, like, I mean, the Cavs just had this very weird season that was very condensed, that was very, like, a sprint and brutal kind of thing to finish. Like, I have, as a tease for Dime coming up on Wednesday, I have an interview that's dropping with Drew Holiday. And Drew, we were talking a little bit at the beginning about, like, the grind of the season. And he was basically saying, like, I didn't think anything could compare to being as bad as the lockout season, where they played like 3 games in 3 nights sometimes, right? And he said, no, like nothing can be as bad as this. Like he, I don't know if he has like a definitive take, or if like any player, or if he pulled the league, if he had a definitive take on like what this season was. But the season was brutal, and brutal on the players, brutal on the teams. I think like very hard, I think a lot of times to suss out sort of like what is real and what's not because of how weird the season is. Like, there's going to be a lot of me going back and looking at my notes, rewatching some stuff, and figuring some stuff out because, like, I think the season was just crazy. And the Cavs in themselves had, like, a bunch of seasons packed into one, right? Like, I mean, Andre Drummond was on this team this season, right? There's just been a lot of stuff, you know?
So
and it's weird and...
Oh, my gosh.
Right. I mean, doesn't it? You know? It feels like forever ago that we were, like, talking about that Wolves game where, like, they posted him up a bunch. And I can still have that game, like, etched in my brain, but, like... It is just like an extremely kind of weird thing in regards to what's sort of happening here. So it's tricky, you know, it is tricky. It is hard to sort of suss some of this out, but we're going to try to here on the pod and after the sword and everywhere else, we're kind of doing stuff.
We got Evan, some things cooking possibly as well on the back burner.
Well, we're going to G's move in silence like lasagna. Until we get that figured out. That's a little tease. So if anyone knows, they're thinking, oh, what are these
guys
working?
It's like one of two or three people, if you maybe told your wife that know, so. And some other folks, maybe. So like four or five, so.
Yes, it's very small. Very small. Evan, we gotta pay some bills.
Indeed, we do.
Wonderful. So our first sponsor is our friends at Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet your must-have qualifications, and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy. With tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fit your job description immediately, and Indeed Skills Tests that on average reduce hiring time by 27%. You can choose from more than 130 skill sets and then add your must-have requirements so you only pay for applications that meet them. According to TalentNest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Again, get a $75 job credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions.
What was that link again, Chris?
Indeed.com/locked.
There you go. Check it out.
Evan, so let's talk about these two games. Cavs, Wizards on Friday. The Wizards obviously wrapped up their regular season and are going to be in the upper half of the East Play-in tournament now. And then they played Brooklyn on Sunday. Loose Brooklyn, Colin Sexton ejected. Jaren Allen gets the double-double. Kyrie hits the 50-40-90 club with his performance against his old team. Just, Evan, what are your takeaways from this? And just as a note, we're recording this at 9:33 p.m. So Clippers Thunder just wrapped its first quarter, and the Thunder are up 9. So we may not – the game is not going to be over when we finish, but so that could change, and we'll probably talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit more. I think we're going to be talking more about the draft lottery breakdown and stuff too, because it is confusing to explain to people like what is and isn't going on. But my takeaway from Friday's game against the Wizards, I don't know, Isaac Okor, and against the Nets as well, like his offensive growth is pretty encouraging. Like you see a lot of neat little things that are happening. Like against Brooklyn, he finished the night with 18 points, didn't have any assists. He still played a little bit of backup point guard, just by necessity. I know the Cavs did have Darius Garland in that game, and he only played 12 minutes. But Okoro, double digits. He 17 against the Wizards, 17, 6, and 5. Like, that's awesome. Didn't have the same assist numbers against Brooklyn, but still, I mean, 18 points, 3 boards, not that bad. He took 7 three-pointers, which is also encouraging. Like, I'm really intrigued to see where Isaac Okoro's growth and development goes from here, because there's a lot of positives to wrap up the season and what has been a poopy year for the Cavs. 22-50 to finish the year, 9-27 on the road. They were not a good road team. They were a better home team, but still not that great. But Isaac Okoro gives me a lot of encouraging signs, and I'm intrigued to see where he goes from here. And like you and I have talked about, if he tightens that handle up and he improves his shot a little bit, I think the Cavs really do have something.
Yeah, I think these last couple of games, like, I think that Nets play that, you know, was like the play that kind of went most viral on social.
Yeah,
it was like the crazy fun play.
Yeah, that was fun.
You know, it was kind of a bummer not to see Darius one last time, because he played just, I think, like 15 minutes against the Wizards in that 120-105 loss. JB said pregame that it was basically just because like they wanted him to go into the offseason like fully healthy. That is like kind of funny, because I feel like it's both a little bit of tanking, a little bit of not. Came off the bench in that one as well, which is something they did earlier in the year when they were bringing him back from injury. I guess like the thing that didn't happen on Sunday, but I guess the thing that in the most recent games that I'm gonna be most fascinated by, just in terms of how it happened, is just Colin Sexton's free throw attempts and just kind of how that has played out, right? Like, he took 8 against the Wizards. He's had a bunch of double digit attempts in that game. You know, like, again, you can look at like Fondu Kakembele playing well and doing some stuff interestingly, like the Okoro stuff, but like the Sexton free throw.
Wait a second. You think Fondu Kakembele is interesting after you've told me multiple times he stinks?
Evan, if I had to tell you, you're going to keep one of these stupid. We got to ask this by someone on Twitter. If you were going to pick one of him and
Roderick
Hartenstein to be your backup center, or your heart, do you just be your backup center next year?
Hartenstein, just because of the playmaking aspect, and Hartenstein's just, you know, a better defensive player. Let me ask you this instead: who would you pick first? Yeah, I think we're on the same page. Would you rather have
Hartenstein's look like an actual like legit NBA player, and Kagan-Bailey's had like flashes where he plays really hard, but like. Like, again, like, this is, like, classic end-of-season, like, garbage. Like, the quality of game, like, just dips. It just does, and that's fine. But, like, this was, like, for the Nets, this is, like, a warm-up for the first round. And then for the Cavs, this is, like, we're just trying to get out of the end of the season, like, without, like, everything imploding in front of us and having injuries.
Well, that's fair. Would you rather have Kakembele or Broderick Thomas? That's my question. Because I just don't get the appeal, man. Like, I think
Broderick, I'm gonna roll the dice on a 6'8 guy who's like shown some shooting stuff of late and like is gonna play the passing lanes and play the wing more than I am like a big who's already kind of washed out once. These are also like very low hit things anyway. Like, these are very like, I know like we'll spend a lot of people spend a lot of energy Jeff like worrying about these things, but it's like it. Like these are very low
it's
hit.
Like it's like these we are said very last low segment, hit things. It ain't worth worrying about. But I mean, I don't know. Kabengele is 23. I think Broderick Thomas is close to Larry Nance Jr. and us in age. He's 24, so I'm an idiot. So never mind. Just disregard my argument. I just don't see it with Broderick Thomas. I just think he's neat. Like, I understand the appeal, but at the same time, I've watched enough of him at this point to say, like, he'll be there for summer league. He'll be as a training camp invite, but my feelings won't be hurt if he doesn't make the final roster. And, like, Kabengele gets the final spot over him.
Yeah. By the way, Poku is just carrying the bearing the Clippers right now, according to Lucas Hahn. Who's anytime someone tweets anything positive about Kakembele, he just like sends me a tweet about it, which is very funny.
You got to catch them all, all the Pokemon. So,
Pokemon.
Well, let me ask you this: it's concerning Wizards. Oh my gosh, he's 6-6 from the floor, 3-3 from three. I just looked at.
I think he's like playing point guard. I think he's like playing point guard.
I love it. I love the weird stuff the Thunder do. I hate how they lose, but they do some wacky stuff sometimes. But in terms of wizardry, if you were sorted into a Hogwarts house, which one would you want to be sorted into? Choose.
I'm a Ravenclaw.
Oh, hell yeah, brother. Me too. I'm glad you didn't say Slytherin, because there's a little bit of there's some bad blood with them Slytherins, you know. It's better than being like a Hufflepuff. I feel like Hufflepuff's just like the reject house. So.
Yeah, there was a my freshman college roommate who's a friend of mine in high school. Got like made fun of when he said he was a Hufflepuff for like years. This is like a reoccurring bit where he just got like.
Did OU have a Quidditch team? Akron did too, and that was like one of my favorite things. My freshman and sophomore years, going to the student center, and like studying on the balcony. This is completely unrelated, but I talked about this with somebody yesterday, and they're playing like dead ass playing a Quidditch match, and they hide the snitch somewhere on campus, and it's just a mad dash between two dudes or girls. It was co-ed teams, but just sprinting with brooms between their legs to find the golden snitch hitting on Akron's campus, and I just giggled to myself because I'm like, you know what? They're having fun. That's all that matters. But it is fascinating.
Yeah. I worked with a guy when I was in RA because I was trying to not get into your college debt, and he was way too into it.
Like Quidditch or Harry Potter?
Quidditch. Like way well, I guess too into both. Quidditch.
If he's playing Quidditch, he's into Harry Potter as well.
I think he was really just into the Quidditch. Hey,
you know what, man? Whatever makes you happy. That's what Chris and I are going to advocate this offseason. Do what makes you happy. Who cares what other people think?
Yeah, like I read like the other night I stayed up reading like the last 200 pages of Normal People and just quite enjoyed myself.
Yeah, even though, like, you DM'd, was it me and Ashley? You said like I've been reading since 6 o'clock and it's 1 a.m. when you said it. I'm like, I'm going to bed. Good night.
And then like it also like reading like the Connell therapy stuff in that book is just like extremely just like I feel seen, and that's like that's if you know, you know. But yeah. This weekend of games is just like doesn't mean anything. It's like sort of I think our point here is like talking about Quidditch.
It's a slow march to the end of the season. That Boston win was good for the morale of that Cavs locker room, because I think things would have been a lot uglier if they went into Washington or super ugly going into this game against Brooklyn, because Kevin Love was getting load managed at that point. Like, yeah, Kevin Love's been largely ineffective when he's on the floor. And I still am firmly in the camp that the Cavs are better when Dean Wade played over Kevin Love, just because of some of the defense and stuff. I'm sure Chris can break down advanced stats to tell me why I'm wrong on that take. But I don't know. The gravity Kevin Love possesses is still a real thing. Like, teams still need to respect his three-point shot, because as you saw against Boston, he uncorked a throwback game and just really muddled the Cavs' lottery chances. Chris and I are waiting on bated breath to see what happens with the Thunder, because I think Cleveland went 1-1 against them, and that's true chaos, because then it's a coin flip for the fourth pick spot in the draft.
Yeah, 3-point game right now. But the other thing I'll just say is, like, there was a very good tweet that I just saw. Someone was describing Thunder Clippers and said, no free throws in the first quarter in OKC, just so you know how this game is going. And at Blazers Banter, that's Eric Garcia Gunderson, who used to host Lock the Blazers, really good dude, just described it as cardio. Like, that's what a lot of these end of season games are. It's just like cardio.
That's fair. And I don't know. Plus, shouts to people who are watching that, because guys, people who cover the Clippers obviously know that PG and Kawhi aren't playing.
They're tanking this game to avoid the
Lakers. It's smart, because the Lakers are healthy, and oh my god, I cannot wait to see the ESPN narratives that the Lakers win the championship after winning the play-in tournament, like getting past Steph and the Warriors or something like that. It's gonna be hilarious, man.
But Evan, you know, if someone wanted to bet on the playoffs, uh-oh, I think we have a sponsor that can help them do that. Oh,
good segue there, my man. Let's hop on and roll on over, because we're going to check out our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing. Get it? Because baseball. And you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including the MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA, human fighting action. Before the next pitch,
Evan, name one non-Steve Pimiocha's UFC fighter.
Dude, I don't watch MMA at all.
That's fair. Continue. It's cool. Sorry, continue.
Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or remote. Oh, isn't McGregor an MMA fighter?
There you go.
Before the next pitch.
And also like a very bad whiskey.
Has nothing on Aviation Man Ryan Reynolds. But before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news and sign-up bonuses and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, only if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Chris, the Cavs aren't going to be making the playoffs, though. and maybe the Cavs fans need something to satiate that hunger while they wait for Cleveland's chance. You know what could help them out?
Our friends at Built Bar?
Yeah, they sure can.
All right, so Built Bar, if you, I'm sure you know by now if you're a regular listener, is the best-tasting protein bar on the market. And so what's your favorite flavor? They have 9 great, delicious flavors right now. Coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. Just so you know, there is something for everyone. And right now, my favorite flavor actually is one that's not on there. It's the mocha that they just put out. I got those in the mail today. Tried one. It was like, dang, this is pretty good. It's just, it tastes, got that little coffee taste. Gets that kind of coffee, ice creamy taste kind of in your mouth, but without all the excess fat and calories and all of that. And if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mix box where you get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. A couple of the other flavors have 18 grams of protein, only 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. 9 flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Offer right now is go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Okay, Evan, let's just talk a little bit about what's to come here. So I guess basically like this should just be an informal look at what we sort of think is going to matter for the Cavs.
Yeah, we're going to talk about stuff that annoys us tomorrow or so.
Not all of, well, yeah, not, I wouldn't say annoyed. I think we're just going to like reflect on what it was like covering the season because it's been very weird and like there's just a lot that.
Buddy, I was at Target and I got yelled at a lady because I was on my phone reading her text and I was walking out of the aisle and I looked up and I said, "Oh, I'm sorry." And it was a woman not wearing a mask and like I just like squinted for a second because she didn't have it on, and it's just really uncanny for me to see not people wearing masks now after the CDC order. And she screamed at me saying, "I'm vaccinated, I don't have to wear a mask, so stop fucking judging me." And I'm just like, "I'm so sorry." And then I just like stepped away. So that's you seemed like you wanted to vent. But yeah, we're gonna talk about covering the season this year, what it's been like in a COVID world, because it's been a huge adjustment. Like, and I'm still curious to see what happens next. Like, I think the majority of folks who cover this team, if not all of them, will be vaccinated heading into next year. So maybe the NBA and the Cavs allow locker room access. But I know players' preference is just they enjoy these virtual press conferences because they can tell the team, "No, I don't want to do it." Or they can do it, but they can really just, like, get through it super fast and only answer, like, 3 or 4 questions beyond the third day. It's a little harder because, like, in a press scrum, you're kind of forced to interact. You can get in, get out. The Cavs have a lot of private players, too. Like, I'm interested to see about that. So, like, we're going to talk about a lot of things. It's not going to be, like, to the depth of bubble ball. We're not going to write a book about it. But we'll have a podcast episode about it, at least. So that'll be neat.
Yeah. I think there's, like, 2 obviously big player-related things we'll need to cover in terms of free agency. And that's going to be Jared Allen and Colin Sexton's contract situations. Like, those are just going to be 2 of the biggest things that not just shape the Cavs for next season, but shape the Cavs for years to come in terms of cap space, in terms of what kind of players they commit to. The draft, obviously, will play a big deal. I mean, June 22nd is arguably the most important day of the Cavs this summer, up until the draft, obviously.
Or the first day of free agency, that is 1A. When their social media gets flooded when Colin Sexton isn't offered the max.
Well, I would go... I would go one. If draft is 1A, the draft lottery is 1B. It's like, because they're so intricately linked to like what kind of player you might get. And like maybe like Scottie Barnes ends up being awesome.
I'm intrigued by Scottie Barnes, man.
But but I'm saying, like, let's say you get him at like 6, but like that is less fun than like getting Jalen Green at 3. That is less fun than getting 1 and getting Cade. It is just a different reality you're going to be living in.
But I think Cavs fans need to prepare for that possibility. And I kind of wrote about this in Forbes. I didn't share it because I wasn't super proud of it. But, like, I talked about after Kevin Love, like, Jalen Johnson could be fun. You do worry about, like, his commitment after quitting on IMG and Duke 2 years, like, back-to-back, like, quitting on 2 different teams. So you worry about that if, like, the Cavs start losing. Scottie Barnes is fun. Like, Keon Johnson out of Tennessee, I'm super intrigued by, especially if the Cavs want to stick to Sexland. They can bring Keon along slowly off the bench as like a spark plug guy and then kind of figure out what they have from there if his intangibles really pan out. Like, there's some interesting pieces, but like you said, there's a clear drop off from 1 to 2 and then 2, 3, 4 to and then there's a big, like, a, not a gulf, but there's a decent drop from 4 to like 5 or 6 where Cleveland is kind of sitting right now and seems like it might be the most likely destination for them.
So I think one of the other things that's sort of like interesting about this this summer is just like the fact that, like, you know, maybe you do see some stuff we're not expecting. Like, maybe we do see some player movement you don't expect. I mean, I'm not even saying like Sexton, but like, you know, what if Jared Allen gets like a crazy extension offer and they're just like, okay, like, well, or they get the second pick and they're like, okay, we're gonna take Evan Mope and we're gonna move in a different direction. We'll bring back Isaiah Hartenstein and go from there. Like, I mean, Hartenstein in himself like has a player option. Like, he could opt out and he could not be a Cavalier next year. Like, that is like in play. Yeah. There's just like,
and then your Cobb and Daley like question is out the window, Chris. And so is my Broderick Thomas one. Facts. So it doesn't matter.
That's facts. But like, I think the other thing about, I think one of the other things that's just really interesting to consider with this offseason is like, I do just think this is going to be pretty important for the Cavs. Like, I do ultimately think like one of the things that I think is sort of universally accepted and I think accurate among people that talk about the Cavs too much in their lives is like, I think this offseason is going to be vitally important for what Cleveland is going to be. I think like you're trying to figure out, like, you know, not just money stuff, but like how you're going to fit stuff. Like, are you going to be aggressive? Are you going to do something to make a real big push for the playoffs next year? Like, there are just real things that I think are going to be very interesting to see how the Cavs handle them, how they decide to approach it. Because the moves ultimately will say what they think about where the team is at, right? Like, I don't expect a lot of access to Kobe. That is what it is. I think those are things I'm excited about. And I'm also just excited that, like, if we do get Summer League, I think that'll be fun. Because I think, like, you may see, like, if Okoro shows up at Summer League and, like, looks like a wrecking ball, and I don't think he'll play because the Cavs historically have been pretty cautious about second-year guys at Summer League. But let's say he does, and he played a lot of minutes this year, whatever. But if we get even a glimpse of him this summer in game action against competition that he should dominate, and he does, that's like a really, really good sign. And look, we need to see how Lamar Stevens does, and I think he would be a good Summer League guy. I think Broderick Thomas, Cogan Bailey, Hartenstein's probably a little too established for it, but like maybe like you have a lot of guys that I would like to see in Summer League and kind of just seeing how they would do in that environment. Because if you do really well there, it's usually a sign that your NBA quality at a certain level. So there's just like a lot to look forward to, even if it's going to be like,
gotta hit pause for a bit.
We're going to have gaps in between all these things. Like, and we're going to dive, you know, well, maybe I think like one of the things we could do this week is maybe talk about like what kind of playoff teams we're interested in and stuff like that. Like, there's a lot of good basketball you can watch and learn from and see how some of these more upper echelon team sort of react.
I am interested to see what does happen. Who's the podcast that floated the idea of Sexton being traded to like the Lakers or just a winning team like that?
It might have been the Vicini Game Theory pod with Danny LaRue on, I think, perhaps.
Yeah, I was just curious because you and Jeff Navin were talking about that while I was sleeping this morning. And my girlfriend asked me why my phone was going quote-unquote apeshit on my nightstand. So that's fun. Thanks, guys. But I don't know. It's just there's a lot of questions. There's like a lot of moves. Like, the Lakers are our top team, but they don't have a lot of money right now either. So that's going to be interesting to watch. Like, the Cavs are going to be interesting to watch too, because it's do or die time, I think, for Kobe Altman. Like, either he gets the first pick, lands Cade Cunningham, and I think buys himself a little bit of time, because I think Cade unlocks a lot of things for this Cleveland team, and they'll win a few more games next year. Maybe they figure out something with Kevin Love and they turn that somehow into assets for whatever they have to do to offload him, and maybe they somehow some way get a player in exchange for him. I don't know. Kobe Altman's pretty good at making like marginal moves, and I think Kevin Love will be the biggest marginal move he makes, because you're not going to get anything of value, like true value, back. But I think it's do or die time for the Cavs. You're like, you and I have kind of said this, this is the most important offseason in the last 3 years for the Cavs. Like, you need to start figuring out a plan of what this vision and identity is going to be going forward. Are they a defensive first team who is kind of vanilla to lackluster offensively under Bickerstaff, or do they maybe bring in like some type of coach who can provide some offensive tactical support as well to make things better? There's a lot of variables. Like, Lindsey Gottlieb's gone. She was big on the development of a lot of the young players. Like, how do you replace that? Like, I don't know. There's a lot, like I said at the top, there's a lot more questions than there are answers about this Cavs team, but thankfully we are going to start getting some answers. And like you said, the draft lottery is really important. Once we have an idea of where the Cavs are picking, we start answering a lot more questions about what the Cavs probably should do, and when they end up doing it, we'll discuss that as well.
Other thing that I want to just point out that is very funny right now is that the Timberwolves are winning by 21 against the Mavericks.
You know, we're all Wolves tonight. Just let's everyone let out a hearty awoo. Unless you're at the office or something, I'm not going to do it because I'm asking you to do it. But if the Wolves win, that'd be fun too. It'd be, God, you know how chaotic it would be if the Thunder and the Wolves, or the Wolves lose and the Thunder win.
Wolves would fall to six clean.
Oh, would they?
And yeah, so they're right now. I'm looking at Tankathon. We're gonna do a spin on the way out here. So right now, the Cavs are 5 back. The Thunder are 4.5 back of the worst team in the league. Orlando's 4. Detroit's 2. So that those 1 and 2 is locked up. 3 is locked up. It looks unless the Thunder lose, and then the Cavs will either be tie or squarely in 5th. I think. Is what we're looking at.
And is that the doomsday scenario for Cleveland, do you think? Do you really think that Boston win's going to have serious repercussions?
I don't know. It's so hard to like actually put value in any of that.
How sick would you be if the Pelicans vaulted up to 1 and got Cade? I think I'd actually would be sick to my stomach. Like, that's how angry I got.
David Griffin then clearly knows where the bodies are buried, and like we need.
Bro,
to,
David Griffin said it's never going to happen again when it comes to the Pelicans not prioritizing shooting on their roster, and I'm like, you built this team, man. I question so many things about David Griffin's team building ability. So I don't know. It's just fun to watch. It's interesting.
Yes. All right. Here's our last Tankathon, Tim. This is obviously before the lottery is finalized, so we'll do. A bunch of these in between now and the draft lottery, which is a month and 5 days or so between now. I think it's a month and 5 days. So here we go. Mine is this: the Wolves, funnily enough, jump up to 1. The Thunder go up to 2. The Cavs are at number 3. That's Jalen Green season right there.
Yeah. Mine's a little bit more enjoyable. Detroit, they get 1. Houston gets 2. I think those are fun outcomes. I think that's likely as well, with the Rockets kind of needing they lose a star player, they get a star player back in Mobley. But Cleveland jumps up to 3, Chicago to 4, so they keep their pick after a baffling trade. Orlando falls to 5, OKC 6, Minnesota 7, Toronto 8, New Orleans 9, and Sacramento 10. So not a bad outcome. I think that's still Jalen Green territory at 3.
Yes. All right. So that is going to be. Also, I just saw a tweet from a bunch of Lakers people that the Gasol went out, Drummond came in, and the Pelicans won on a 9-2 run, which is objectively hilarious to me.
Did they bench Drummond for Gasol?
Oh. No, he's well. It looks like Drummond's going to be ahead of Trez in the playoff.
The benefits of being best friends with Anthony Davis, folks, it does get you somewhere in life.
Anyway, that is going to be it for today's Locked On Cavs. Thanks to our sponsors, Indeed. To our sponsor, Built Bar, to Bet Online, and again, check out Locked On NBA and Locked On Women's Basketball if you aren't already. But until tomorrow, this has been Evan and I, and here's a quick clip from JB Bickerstaff from his postgame presser just on the end of the season. We're going to end on that, and again, we'll be back tomorrow with just kind of us openly reflecting on what it was like covering this season, and we'll continue to go from there. But for myself, for Evan, it's been Locked On Cast for Monday, May 17th. Happy birthday, Mom. Thanks for listening.
Today on Locked On Today podcast, the New York Mets follow in the New York Knicks' footsteps. That's the cue of the day. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.